Let us pray. Lord God, may your Spirit, who inspired the writing of the scripture we've just heard, inspire us afresh this morning. Amen. I'm here because it's the week of prayer for Christian unity, and Bedolf Church's swap preachers today. And this year we also have United in Prayer here on Tuesday and Wednesday. And I do hope that you and those from other churches will join in this special prayer event, an opportunity to pray together. Back in the summer, I had a 3-month sabbatical and for 11 days I visited the Holy Land. In Jerusalem, I visited the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, built over the likely place of Jesus' death, burial and resurrection. It was very special to go to that land and to the places where so much of the things about Jesus actually happened. The Church of the Holy Sepulchre is chaired by a number of denominations, mainly Greek Orthodox and Roman Catholic. So where Jesus died and rose again to reconcile us to God, different denominations are able to share together worship in the same building. They are expressing Christian unity there in the heart of Jerusalem. But they don't trust each other with the keys, because the different denominations are afraid that if the others have the keys, they may end up getting locked out. So it's actually a Muslim that holds the keys for that church. That's an example of Christian unity and division. Our various congregations are happy to swap preachers today, but if instead of swapping preachers, you had been expected to go to a different church and others had been expected to come here, I wonder how many would have just stayed at home. Within Bedolf Churches Together, there is a willingness to work and witness together for the advancement of God's kingdom in this area. There is unity, but there is still a lot of division amongst us. This year, the resources for the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity have come from the Caribbean, with the title, That All May Be Free. There are 1.4 million Christians living in the Caribbean region. They represent a rich and diverse tapestry of ethnic and linguistic and religious traditions, with a complex variety of governmental and constitutional arrangements. The contemporary context there is deeply marked by the history of colonialism, which stripped people of their identity, dignity, and freedom. During the colonial system, scripture was used to justify the enslavement of the indigenous people. In a dynamic reversal, those same scriptures have become the inspiration and the motivation for the Caribbean people to reclaim their liberty. That all may be free is appropriate for them and for us. I have to admit, I've not found this sermon that easy to prepare, and I think that's partly because I've been trying to cover too many bases. Christian unity, the Caribbean freedom, and your prayer focus as well. But I hope that you will still get something from this. The exodus of the Jews from Egyptian slavery is very important for the Christians in the Caribbean as they seek and find freedom. Moses and Miriam's song of praise in Exodus 15 is very meaningful for them and is one of the suggested readings for today. Another suggested reading is Psalm 118, verse 5 of which reads, In my anguish, I cried to the Lord, and he answered me by setting me free. Very suitable for the theme, that all may be free, and applicable to the theme that you're exploring. Passionate about prayer. When we pray, God is generous in his response. It's his nature and character. Psalm 118 verse 5 resonates with being passionate about prayer. In my anguish I cried to the Lord, and he answered me by setting me free. Another suggested reading for today is Mark 5, the one we heard just now. And it has within it three examples of being passionate about prayer. Jesus had just crossed Lake Galilee, and on this occasion he had actually crossed by boat. On the outward journey, he'd actually walked part of the way across the lake. When he landed, possibly at Capernaum, a crowd gathered. Jairus, a synagogue ruler, seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him. "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will live." The key words for this sermon are from that verse 22. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him. I doubt that that was anything like the way that Jairus usually prayed in the synagogue. But he was now desperate for his daughter's healing. So he fell at Jesus' feet and pleaded earnestly with him. Like your theme, Jairus was passionate about prayer. So that's our first key point. Jairus, passionate about prayer. Your theme is passionate about prayer. When we pray, God is generous in his response. It's his nature and character. Jesus was generous in his response to Jairus' request. We read, "So Jesus went with him." I can imagine Jairus breathing a sigh of relief, of fear turning to hope, because Jesus was going to minister to his daughter. But I'm not sure how Jairus felt when Jesus was then detained by a bleeding woman. Jesus' nature and character was to respond to this woman just as graciously and as generously as he had responded to Jairus. He's willing to respond graciously and generously to each one of us and to others who call upon him. This woman had been suffering with bleeding for 12 years. The same length of time as the age of the little girl. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. She wanted Jesus' healing. But Jairus had got to Jesus first. She had almost missed her opportunity. When I was down in Cornwall, Andrew Piax came and led a healing service in one of my churches. A couple with health problems came along, but left before receiving prayer. I caught up with them in the church porch and asked, "Are you not going to go and receive prayer?" Judith mentioned that Brian didn't feel he wanted to go forward for prayer, so they were going home. My response was, "But Judith, you could still have prayer." So they went back into the church. Judith went forward for prayer and was amazingly healed. She had been partially deaf in both ears and because of that had a slight speech impediment. Her hearing and her speech came good, which was particularly helpful because only a few months before God had called her to be a preacher. So it certainly helped that she could speak more clearly. Back and stomach problems were also healed. She had almost missed that opportunity. I was so glad that I had encouraged her to take that opportunity and receive prayer. So secondly, the woman, passionate about prayer. In the gospel story, this woman must have been so glad that she had taken this opportunity to receive prayer for her healing. Although Jesus was already on his way to Jairus' place, she came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. When I think about being passionate about prayer, touching the edge of Jesus' cloak doesn't readily come to mind as a way of being passionate about prayer. But that was how she did it. She thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. And she was, instantly. Within the various prayer stations here on Wednesday, you may be invited to pray in a different way than you're used to praying. Perhaps even by touching the edge of a cloak. The woman sought Jesus' help in that novel way and was rewarded. So I encourage you to give the prayer stations a go, even if it's a bit of a different way than you would normally pray. The woman may have touched Jesus' cloak rather than asking him for help because perhaps she didn't want to delay Jesus getting to Jairus' daughter. Or it may have been to save Jesus the embarrassment of being confronted with a woman who was considered unclean. She probably hoped to get healed without being noticed. But Jesus noticed. He realized that power had gone out from him. Jesus could have still left it at that and just carried on to Jairus' daughter, but he didn't. Jesus' generous nature and character caused him to stop and ask, "Who touched me?" He waited until she owned up, came to him, and she also fell at his feet. But why was she trembling with fear? Within the Jewish religion, her bleeding meant that she would have been considered unclean. So therefore, she shouldn't have been in that crowd. She shouldn't have touched Jesus. She shouldn't have touched a man. Perhaps she was afraid that Jesus or Jairus would give her a telling off. Perhaps she was afraid that Jairus would now consider Jesus to be unclean and therefore wouldn't welcome him into his home. She may have been fearful that her own healing may have prevented the girl's healing. And that could have been an awful lot of guilt to have then carried with her. She could have been physically healed, but then crippled with carrying guilt. She needn't have been fearful. Jesus said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." I can imagine that those precious words were actually just as important to her as her physical healing was. Because in those words, Jesus affirmed her. Her uncleanness didn't contaminate Jesus, but his purity and power cleansed her. And because Jesus brought it all out into the open, she could then openly tell others about the wonderful healing she had received. Thirdly, Jesus, passionate about prayer. Our key words are, seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him. Jesus responded positively to the passionate praying of Jairus and of the woman. And he was passionate about prayer himself. He often went off to pray. He taught us the Lord's Prayer. While Jesus was speaking those affirming words to the woman, men from Jairus' house brought the news "Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore?" Jesus responded by telling Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe." I suspect that the healing of the woman had actually helped increase Jairus' faith. Observing Jesus helping and caring for that woman so tenderly may have helped him believe that Jesus could restore his daughter's life. Jesus simply carried on, went there and prayed, "Talith kum, little girl, I say to you, get up." And she did. The Caribbean theme for this week is that all may be freed. Both the woman and the girl must have felt wonderfully freed by Jesus. Fourthly, us being passionate about prayer. Earlier I mentioned the lady in my church who had almost missed that opportunity for healing. If we have missed opportunities for Jesus to minister to us, all is not lost. We can take fresh opportunities to seek prayer. And sometimes the longer we've been struggling, we can end up praying more earnestly that help and healing will come. I don't want you to get the idea that I believe that the more passionately we pray, the more likely we are to get what we ask for. Sometimes, yes, as we pray more earnestly, we do get those answers, but other times we don't. 18 months or so ago, my mum was diagnosed with terminal cancer. She received prayer for healing. Loads of people were praying for her, but she didn't recover. People were praying passionately, but it didn't happen. She experienced the ultimate healing of going to heaven, but didn't get that healing we were seeking on earth. And that's just all part of the mystery of prayer, part of the mystery of God's healing. But even with my mum, I sensed that God still wanted me to keep praying, believing that a miracle of healing could be possible, even right up to the end, but also then trusting her into God's eternal keeping. As I quoted earlier, Psalm 118:5, "In my anguish I cried to the Lord, and he answered me by setting me free." In a sense, for my mum, the answer was setting her free from her earthly suffering. Not in a sense our first choice, but it seemed to be what God had in plan for her. The Christians in the Caribbean have been passionately praying for freedom for decades, even centuries. Their prayers are being gradually answered. Freedom is increasing, but there's still a long way to go. Like a news item yesterday was saying that was it in the last 12 months in Jamaica, there have been 1,600 murders. Still a country of vast need. In this week of prayer for Christian unity, let's be praying for the advancement of God's kingdom in our own church, across the area covered by Bidulf churches, and throughout the world. Your theme begins, passionate about prayer, not passionate praying. If the focus was passionate praying, it could give the wrong idea that those who are more extrovert in prayer would be more likely to get answers. Being passionate about prayer is just as applicable to those who pray more quietly as to those who pray more exuberantly. I remember a Christian speaker saying that when he was suffering badly with cancer, he was so weak that all he could manage to pray in really a whisper was, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." He wasn't praying passionately, but he was still praying with passion. He was passionate about prayer. May we be passionate about prayer. May we humbly come to Jesus and earnestly pray for his work to be done, for his kingdom to come here on earth as it is in heaven. May we do what Jairus did. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him. Amen.